Lord, I pray for ears to hear your message, hearts to receive it, and the encouragement to act it out. Amen. Amen. So if you, for anyone that doesn't know me, my name's Rob. I'm the youth worker and part of the leading and preaching team here at All Saints. And we're looking today at this message in Philippians of moving from anxiety and uncertainty to action. So I don't know what it is that might worry you or hold you back from acting in a certain way. Maybe it's a preacher starting his preach with a direct question. Maybe it's the leader of a service saying that he's going to do something brave today. Possibly. But for some of us, maybe it's heights, for example. You'll see on the screen there a view from the top of the Eiffel Tower. I'm not great with heights, and I feel such uncertainty and insecurity in those situations that I can't approach the edge properly. There's no material. No one accidentally falls off the Eiffel Tower. It doesn't happen. But I'm unable to do the things which I would otherwise want to do. Maybe it's crowds. Maybe it's being alone. There's loads of possible worries and anxieties that exist which can interfere with people's ability to act in the way that they really want to do the things that they're supposed to do. How many of us are perhaps we've seen a spider, but we no longer know where it is. Or we've seen the evidence of a mouse, but we haven't seen it. How does that make us feel? Uncertain, insecure, not able to do things in the same way that we might otherwise do. The prospect of having an upcoming test, exam, appraisal, or job interview might affect the events leading up to it and how we can do them. There's a few other interesting fears around and about which would be difficult for people to live with day to day and affect what they can do. Pogonophobia, the fear of beards. In recent years, that's probably become a lot more difficult for people to live with. Hydrophobia, the fear of water. If you're watching this back later on, be aware it's quite a wet time for us at the moment. Could be a really difficult one to live with. Onomatophobia, the fear of names. Where can you go in the world where names aren't constantly present? And one that perhaps is less diagnosable. Anatidiphobia, the fear that somewhere, somehow, a duck is watching you. How could you feel secure? When you were younger, did you hide behind the sofa from the Daleks? Some nodding. I'd be fascinated to find out how you had so much room behind your sofa to hide. I don't. But one for the moment. The final moments of an international football game. Maybe there's going to be some moments in the England's matches during the Euros where in the final moments, we just can't function the same. We can't sit still. Alex Ferguson's there on the screen, famously coined that timeless phrase, squeaky bum time, to convey that situation about not being able to sit still on your seat. As a child, I was terrified of this. I could not be in the same room as it. It was a toy. It even had an audio cassette storybook with it. For young people, an audio cassette is like a sort of hard copy of Spotify that you got to put into a device to play. But even the cassette, the presence of the cassette was, I couldn't be in the same room with it because I was terrified. Partly because it transfers into this. It's not a pleasant thing, but I could not be in this. If I knew that was shut at the back of my wardrobe, I couldn't do the things in my room that I would otherwise have done. I couldn't tidy it. I couldn't play with my other toys knowing that was there. It was always in the background, making me feel insecure. But what about the church in Philippi? We've said they're potentially facing some persecution. Different commentators have had different ideas about what some of the anxieties, the worries that might be holding the church in Philippi back might be. What does Paul think of them? Have they been doing a good job since he left them? Worried about Paul himself, imprisoned. What's going to happen to Paul? Is there a risk of a split within the Philippian church. And as a radical group such as this church grows, the risk of gossip and accusations from outside and the pressure to conform from this proudly Roman community. These are some of the suggested anxieties that commentators have said. But overall, a lot of the issues for the Philippians seem to be how they relate to each other. People can be difficult. So Paul addresses this anxiousness in the church. As we established in those earlier examples, anxiety and fear results in us feeling less secure, and ultimately there's a barrier to doing the things that we're supposed to do, to living the life that we're supposed to do. For the Philippians, for living the life that God wants them to live, for doing the things that God would have them do. Outside of my role as a youth worker, I work in child and adolescent mental health, and we've got a nice little model when it comes to anxiety. I won't do too much psychoeducation for you this morning, but you might not be able to see how vicious that cycle is in the middle, but he's got a very angry face, okay, on the wheels. So he's a vicious cycle. Very quickly, the cycle of anxiety up at the top. As humans, we're perhaps not very fond of uncertain situations where we don't know the outcome, we don't like it. And we get physical sensations that go alongside that. And we believe that worry is helpful. If our body is giving us these worry signals, it's for a reason. So what do? We do what we call safety behaviors. We escape the situation, we postpone what we're doing, we avoid doing it. Maybe we seek a lot of reassurance, or we over-prepare for a situation. Why do we do it? Because it works. Temporarily, we feel a little bit better. Who among us has postponed a bit of homework we were worrying about getting wrong and felt a little bit better for a few hours that evening and then found ourselves there the next day? Yes, some nods. Excellent. Glad to know that wasn't just me. And you can see how that can move in a cycle. If whenever I'm at the top of a tall building like the Eiffel Tower, I never go towards the edge and I avoid the situation, I'm likely to do that again next time. It's holding us back from doing the things that we should be doing. So, for the Philippian church, it's quite possibly that they're not facing up to the things that they're concerned about. There needs to be some action in response to their anxiety, hence from anxiety to action. So Paul's got a simple message for the Philippian church about their worries and about their anxieties. It's to live in Christ, it's to live like Christ, and it's to live for Christ. So, in the first section of our reading today, I'll bring it up there. There's a few highlights there. Being united in Christ, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and mind. Although, interestingly, in the translation we had today, spirit and purpose was the translation in that version. Value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each other, each of you, to the interests of others. And reading this, I'm very much drawn to Paul's other writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are all components of the body. We're all different. We're not talking about homogeny and us all being exactly the same, but having common purpose. So to strain that analogy of the body a little bit further, if our hands only did the things that serve our hands, washing, sanitizing, manicuring, moisturizing, perhaps, the rest of our body would wind up in a right state. I wouldn't be able to clean my teeth without using my hands. Eating is going to be very undignified, I think, without the use of my hands. My hands can serve the needs of the rest of my body. And there's a call for the Philippian church to do likewise, not looking to your own interests, but those of others, with the same love and common purpose. For the Philippians, then, Paul writes to them to remind them of their common bond, their common purpose, and to look to their brothers and sisters around them, and not solely at their own needs, be that their own personal needs or their own ministerial needs, perhaps, but to look to the needs of their brothers and sisters around them. He encourages them to live in Christ as part of the body of Christ. He also encourages them to live like Christ. Now, this is the section which Ruth read out, and it's structured in a very kind of poetic form. If you see it laid out in the Bible, it's laid out very, very differently. And it has some of the very sort of quoted parts to it. It's a very popular passage. And it's actually a fantastic gospel summary, that whole passage. I would encourage you later on to sort of dwell with that passage for a while, prayerfully. It's a great gospel summary, and how the life of Jesus is a model for their own living out of their salvation. We sung the song Servant King earlier, and some of the phrases there about not to be served, but to be served, each other's needs to prefer, just coming back into this idea of servanthood. But in verse 6, Jesus himself did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. The power, the position, the influence that Jesus had, not to be used for his own advantage, but for the benefit of others and to serve others. I'm struck particularly by some of Jesus' healings, some of which were done to demonstrate who he was, as public events to convince people of his message and his Godhood. Others were done privately, for no direct benefit to Jesus himself, but only in serving others. So in Mark 4, there's a healing of a man with leprosy, and Jesus tells him to don't tell anyone, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices in line with the law, but don't go saying around what actually happened. That didn't quite pan out. He did that anyway, but never mind. The Luke 8, Jesus raises a young girl to life. And the verse goes, her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. An act of loving service towards the needs of others. So as Paul writes to the Philippians, there is an encouragement not only to look to the body of Christ and to act according to their needs, but to look outwards as an outpouring of what it is to be in Christ, true humility. And also, Paul encourages them to live in Christ, like Christ, and lastly, for Christ. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Whose good purpose? God's, his good purpose, thank you. Didn't know I was going to get interactive there, did you? There you go. Now, there is perhaps some odd phrasing there. To work out your salvation, we're not talking about earning salvation through work, but it's a response to our salvation that naturally spills over into action. Fear and trembling. Maybe our reading of that today sounds a bit peculiar. Why fear? Why trembling when it comes to living our lives for Christ? Well, let's just pick apart some of those words. So fear or phobos, one of the meanings of that word is reverence and awe. So it's to be struck by just who God is and responding with the correct reverence and awe. Sometimes that word that we translate to fear means that. Trembling or I'm sorry, I apologize for my Greek pronunciation. Tromos can be interpreted as, here we go, the anxiety of distrusting one's own ability to meet all requirements, but doing the utmost to fulfill one's duty. So not quaking with fear in a corner, unable to act, but in spite of our anxiety, our worries about our own abilities, stepping forward and doing our utmost to do it. Maybe some of you can relate to that. Whereas in a church situation, perhaps leading prayers, doing a reading for the first time, or maybe even ongoing. Do we ever doubt our own ability to do it, perhaps as well as other people might, for example? But we step forward to do our best and to not let that anxiety hold us back. And why? To fulfill his good purpose. As Paul writes to the Philippians, there's a sense that they're good at doing what they do, but they need encouragement to keep stepping forward. And there's perhaps an argument to run that what Paul is writing to the Philippians about, the good purpose, the thing they shouldn't hold themselves back in doing, is to make Christ known in the community in which they live, this proudly Roman community. But for us today, what does it mean to live in Christ, like Christ, and for Christ? Well, here are my suggestions. In Christ, how are we connected to the body? The body of Christ, be that the local body here or the worldwide body of Christ. How are we connected? There's obviously personal disciplines and actions which are important, things for us to do on our own. But how are we connected to others? As for the Philippians, there might be some call to different or changed action, or maybe a call to continue in the good way that you are going already. So, are there other ways to connect? Home groups, prayer groups, even who we perhaps choose to talk to at the end of a church service. Is there a way that we can connect differently or more so to the body of Christ? Like Christ. Very quick question there. Whom are you serving? And I'm sure we all serve in a number of different ways. And maybe the call here is just to continue in the good work that's going on. But maybe, just maybe, there is a call to serve in a different way. And I think that links into our last one, about living for Christ. Looking back on this idea of working with fear and trembling. So that's with awe and reverence for God. And in spite of worry and anxiety about our own ability, to step out and do our utmost for God's good purpose. That could be absolutely anything, but perhaps it could be sharing your faith with those around you. So, as Paul writes to the Philippian church, it's a church that brings him joy, but he writes to encourage them in the good work that they are doing and to step out for Jesus. For us today, I feel it's a similar message. So I will just close briefly in prayer for us today. Lord, as Paul did, we thank you for the church at Philippi and for the joy that they brought to Paul during his imprisonment. Help us, as Paul encouraged them to live our lives in Christ as part of the body of Christ, like Christ, following his example, and for Christ, to help fulfill his good purpose for our lives. Amen.